Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Karen Cam Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Cam, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. If you don't have a copy of my book, you can get the first six chapters as a free download on my website, www.karencan.com. And with that subscription, you'll also get five webinars free as well, some of my healing classes. And so I want you to have that as my gift so you can enjoy. And today's show is going to be about the book, The 21 Layers of the Soul. Now, I was referred to this book by a colleague, a friend, who said, you have to read this, you know, and I think she said something like, oh, I think it reminds me of you, and I didn't really get that part until I started reading it, and as I'm reading it, I'm, you know, especially the beginning where the author's talking about her own process, her own life, you know, how it evolved, her own illness, I thought, oh my gosh, I see myself in there. There were so many different synchronicities, down to the whole ankle injury, chronic fatigue thing. I was like, wow, okay, this is like a mirror. It's really, really neat. So we're going to be talking with Anna McDowell, and she is going to share some of her amazing history of how she discovered this so-called 21 layers of the aura. Like, I can barely see the first layer visually with my eyes, but the 21 layers, oh my gosh. And I've never heard of this before. This is the first time it's been revealed is in her book, and we're going to talk about maybe, you know, soul plans, soul agreements. We'll see how, you know, the questions flow, and there's so many things, you know, that I can ask her, but I definitely want to find out, you know, how she came up or was guided about these different layers of the aura and how it works with healing these parts of the aura, how we can be influenced by all of humanity, because this is where I'm at right now, is that sometimes I just know that whatever I'm going through, that when I get past or this particular obstacle or heal this particular issue for me, that I'm healing it for the whole of humanity. I can actually feel that. And sometimes stuff is happening in the whole world that, you know, affects me. I can see it in my patients, these patterns, and we can go out and even do healings, you know, world healings, and just the weirdest stuff is happening in my life, let me just say. Very fun, very weird, and sometimes I think I'm making it all up. But then then comes along this book, and I'm like, oh, I'm not making it all up. This is awesome. So Anna McDowell is a management coach, light worker, medium, energetic therapist, trainer, and, of course, an author. Her personal experience with long-term illness combined with her own work as a healer have led her to understand how the soul is an internal compass that continually guides us. She's helped thousands of clients heal at many levels, teaching them how to read this compass for themselves. And to learn more, you definitely want to get a copy of her book and visit her website at 21, with the number 21, 21layersofthesoul.com. So, Anna Meg, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, it's my pleasure. So I'm glad to, very happy to be here.
Thank you, thank you. Well, let's start with a little bit about your story. Now, you've gone through quite a bit in your life to get to this place. So maybe you can kind of give our listeners an idea of who you are and how you came to this place.
Well, in short, I'm Dutch, I must say, because you probably can hear it in my accent, but I'm Dutch. I'm from the Netherlands in Europe. And I started out as an engineer. My brain was really functioning well, and I was using it, and I studied and became an engineer. And I started to work, and I worked really hard. I lived in my head. That was the way I survived. And then the famous ankle injury came, and I was, well, blindsided by it. I didn't see it coming, and I didn't want to heal. So I started to find, well, I tried to look for help. And it was really difficult because it wasn't really a physical injury. I thought it was, but it wasn't. Mm. It was a way of my body to show me that I was going the wrong track and I needed to stop. So I talked to people and I found out about body work and I started to do that. Then we do emotional releasing exercises. So you do physical exercises and then you start to feel your body again because I didn't feel that much. I tried to ignore it.
I know that one.
Yes, I think a lot of people know that one, especially in the Western countries. And when I was doing that, I felt my own body, but I also felt feelings of people next to me. And I saw their emotions, I felt them, I could read their minds sometimes, I knew their pains. It all, well, suddenly it became clear that I was paranormal. And I didn't realize that beforehand because I always thought that I fought my way through life. But then I realized, no, it's a combination of that. And then I realized I need to do something with this because I was a manager. I worked at Ericsson, the telecom company. And, well, all the employees, it felt like cheating. I knew what was happening to them, and I really wasn't, well, trained to deal with it in the correct way, I thought. So I started to study again and became a paranormal therapist. And I thought, well, now I'm on the right track. Now I know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. My ankle will not hurt again. And then after 2 years of practicing this paranormal therapy, I fell ill, seriously ill. And I stayed that for 3.5 years. And doctors couldn't help me. They said, well, it's chronic fatigue. You have to get used to the idea that you're sick and you will not be better again. So you will be on the couch or in your bed or somewhere in between, but never work again and things like that. Mm-hmm. And something deep inside me said, no, that can't be right. And that was really strange because all the doctors said the same to me. And I just thought, no, I don't think that's true. And because I was so ill, I couldn't block my guides anymore. I started to listen to angels because they were already there, but I was still, well, I was paranormal, but there are things that I didn't want to experience, even though I really accepted the fact that I was paranormal. Mm-hmm. So then when I became ill, my energy was so low that I couldn't block them anymore. So they started to talk to me, and I had to listen because I couldn't block them. And then they started to help me, and I started to realize that I didn't do anything wrong by falling ill or didn't do anything wrong before I fell ill, but that this illness was for me a transformation path and a way of experiencing things that I wouldn't have experienced otherwise. And then I realized that I really was judgmental before that, and I didn't think that I was judgmental because I was all about love and healing and light, etc. But in a way I was because I was taught that if you fell ill, the disease meant something. So if you had a stomach ache, that's something different than your ear or your eye. And every part of your body can give a certain signal. But by translating that one-to-one and thinking that that's the answer, I found out by becoming ill myself that then you really don't see the uniqueness of every soul and the unique path of every soul, and that disease isn't some signal of incapability, but it's in my opinion, a sign of strength that you go that deep, that far to grow as a soul and to become the person you really need to be. Mm. And then after years of being ill, healing myself, working with angels, I slowly started to come back in the real life again and started to work with other people again. And then I found out that there were more layers of the aura. I was taught that there were 7 layers, so there were 7. I couldn't see them before. And then I started to see them. I could see them with trees, but I didn't see them with people. And then I started to work, and then I realized this is the 9th layer. But how can that be? Because there are only 7 layers. So if you're working in 9, and you I am an engineer, so I'm not really stupid. Then I thought, well, then there has to be something more. So I asked my guides, because I could talk to them and listened, well, how many more are there? How much layers are there? And they said, well, you are the one that is going to experience that and write about it. So go ahead. So they didn't help me. I had to find out myself. So I worked for a couple of years, and all the cases I worked with, all the clients, I must say, I worked with, I wrote down everything I did in all the layers. And then in the end, I combined all the layers 12, all the layers 13, and tried to draw conclusions. and wrote about it because I thought if I'm going to write about it, then I'm going to understand how it works, because then you ask yourself, well, how does this work, and how does, and then you start to work with the material, and then you become the material, and then it became my book in Dutch. But since I already dreamt when I was sick that I had to go to America and to talk about a subject which I didn't know at that time which subject it would be, writing my book, I suddenly realized, wow, it was about the layers. So I started to translate the work, and it's now out in English.
Lucky for us.
Well, there aren't that many people that speak Dutch, so in a way it's logical to do it. And since I found out that the energy of the book already helps you heal in the layers, I think it's the easiest way, because there's only one Annemiek and not everyone can work with me. But if you can read the book and hold the book and connect with the energy, you start to resonate with it, and you already start to heal in the layers where there are blockages.
Nice. That is very cool.
So that was a lot.
Wow. Yeah, that is so neat. And like I said to you in private beforehand, that there's so many parallels in our life, just our process, the whole judgmental, like, you know, I was known as this, you know, amazing, kind, compassionate, you know, healer. And when I got sick, I just realized that I was not very kind and compassionate to myself. I judged myself for, like, why did I get sick? I'm trying so hard, and, you know, how could anybody be any more perfect than what I'm doing? And anyway, so it was a big, huge lesson. And I bless every moment of it. It's wonderful. Now, you, when you're describing these 21 layers of the aura, and so I noticed that some, now the first few I'm familiar with, you know, you talk about the physical, mental, you know, astral, spiritual, you know, not in that order, of course, layers. But then some of these other ones are really kind of curious. Can you give us some, like maybe from the whole soul agreement thing, like how does that all work in your perspective?
Yes, of course. Well, if I may, I will tell you about the 12th layer, because everyone has relatives, everyone has a family, and the 12th layer is about family karma and family soul agreements. So it's about souls who, before they come to Earth, before they incarnate, make agreements and say to each other, okay, I'm going to be the dad, you're going to be the child, I'm going to be dominant, you will have a problem with that, because you will, well, as a soul, you choose what you want to experience in a life.
Right.
And in order for that to happen, you have to organize it a bit beforehand, because otherwise you just have to wait and see if something happens. So that's why the soul agreements are there. You have certain persons, people in your life that are well, your partners in crime and in good times. So they help you sometimes with really difficult, painful situations, because they make a mess of it and you have to deal with it. But that can be a soul agreement, and sometimes that's really the case. And sometimes it's the life partner which you marry at 21 and you bury at 86 or something. So it could be anything in between. Soul agreements can be between relatives, and then it's in layer 12. And it can be between friends or coworkers or something, and that can be in layer 8, for example. And the difference is that suppose you and I were related, we were family, and we had a problem with each other, or we just went through a difficult time together, then we grew in layer 12. But not only we would grow in layer 12, also the relatives connected to us would grow, because in that layer you are connected. So if we increase our light in that layer, the other relatives have a bit more light in that layer as well. So they have less difficulty with their own family issues.
Mm.
As if we weren't related and we had the same soul agreement and it was an 8, then you and I would grow dealing with that situation, but no one else would grow from that situation.
Oh, and I see. So the people in the same layer would grow with you.
Yes, if you're connected in the 12th layer, you do. In layer 9, there you have group agreements. So then if there's three of us dealing with it, we grow all three. Even if one of us says, well, I don't want to be mixed in this situation, I care to decline, leave me out of it, then even if someone says, I don't want to see you anymore, and you grow in that relationship, even if the person isn't no longer in your life, you both grow as a soul.
Okay, so let me get this straight. If you you say you had a, say three people had a soul agreement, and one person decides, well, I don't like you guys anymore, or I want to leave, you know, in this lifetime, but the other two are committed to their, say, their soul development, and and they continue to grow, so that third person that has a soul agreement, even though they left the relationship, will still grow because the other two are?
Because you're connected on a soul level.
Okay.
It's like you're saying you're in school and you have to do, you write an article with the three of you, and one says, well, I'm not doing anything. The other two have to work a little bit harder because you have to get a good grade.
Right.
And number three, well, he gets the same grade. Because he's one of the team, and that's how it works, and that's a good thing, because if it had worked otherwise, then sometimes people, for example, lovers, decide to go to quit a relationship when it's really hard, or it comes too close, when it's really difficult to let someone in, or you are too happy and you think you don't deserve it. I have seen people leave relationships for that reason.
Wow.
Then the soul agreement isn't honored. One person has a lot of grief because he feels, well, we're not ready yet. There's so much more to experience, so much more to do, so much beautiful experiences aren't going to come. And you have to do something with that. So the abandoned person grows on a completely different level in another way than was planned, but he grows, or she grows. And the other person is still connected. So in a way, he grows as well because he feels that energy.
Okay. Gotcha. Wow.
And
that
makes it difficult sometimes.
Yeah. So if theoretically, say, you know, two people or a couple people had, say they had soul agreements, but they all have addictions, you know, in this particular lifetime, and then they separate as partners or friends or whatever it is, but one person works on their addictions very consciously and the other person does not. But because they're part of that soul agreement, the person that's working on their addiction and, you know, evolving will help to evolve the other person, even though they're not really in
it's
that
like,
active relationship.
It's like you will start with yourself, because if you heal yourself, you resonate with other people, and you're connected with so many other souls, and you will lift them up as well.
That's exactly what we've been feeling, you know, just lately, just the experiences we've had, and just it's funny seeing my family members, because, I mean, as a medical doctor, I always had that authority to tell them what to do, which they never liked, of course. It didn't go over very well, and me telling them what to eat, where to go, what doctor to see, whatever. So at some point I decided that I better just work on me, because the messages weren't getting through. They weren't appreciating anything, so I just hold back. And if they want to ask me something or have some advice, I'm there for them. But I decided to really focus on me and stop focusing on what they were doing wrong or whatever. And the amazing thing is the transformations that were happening in my family were unbelievable, like just amazing, crazy stuff that I think is amazing, and yet I had seemingly very little to do with it because, you know, my brother and sister getting healthier, you know, my mother and father changing their ways, their relationship styles, their health. I mean, it's not like they're eating what I'm eating, but still there's so many different shifts in their belief systems, and I'm thinking, that's really interesting since I have not been doing anything for them.
Well, they followed their own souls. And I think that's the most important thing someone can do.
Yeah.
I found it out when I started to work with and help them study and work in the layers. Then sometimes they started at a point that I thought, what? How can you let it be and just follow the energy and find out what they are doing? And then in a completely different way than I would have done it, they accessed the pain point and they started to heal the blockage. So then I found out, okay, there are more ways to do things, and my way is a way, but it's not always the way. And I think that every soul, every person has his soul as a guidance. It's in you. You can connect with it. And that's where all the information is. So you can decide for yourself what to do. And of course, a sister or brother or a therapist can help and can advise. But when you hear someone else tell you something, you start to resonate with it, and then you know, I have to do it, or it's a good thing to do it, or I decide to do it. But if you just do it because someone else tells you so, then you're not following your own soul, and then mistakes happen. And then when things really don't work out, you become angry because someone else told you so, and
right.
Now you did it, and then it doesn't work, and then it's even worse. Whereas when it's your own decision to do it, it feels differently, even if the result is less than you expected it to be.
Oh, that, yeah, absolutely. I went through that, a lot of that with my family, my mother, and her saying, well, you should learn from other people's mistakes, not, and just stop making your own. You know? And I said, well, Mom, guess what? My whole life I've been trying to make you and Dad and everyone else happy, and you're not happy, and I'm not happy either. So I'm deciding that I'm going to take full responsibility for my life from this point forward. If I screw up and I'm not happy, I'm not going to blame you. And that is my absolute promise. I only have myself to blame. And, I mean, what could she say, right? Okay, you know what I mean? And then I have to say our relationship from that point forward has really been so much better, and they don't feel blamed anymore, because I was blaming them because I kept doing everything to make them happy and they weren't happy, so it's their fault and I'm not happy too.
Are you still blaming yourself? Because blaming, perhaps it's because I'm Dutch, but blaming sounds negative towards yourself.
Right, right.
And in a way, it's judging yourself. Oh, did something wrong, stupid girl, blah, blah, blah. So which other word could replace blaming?
Well, that was definitely the old. Yeah, that was, you know, over 10 years ago. And,
and
I certainly don't feel that anymore, luckily.
Oh, I'm happy to.
No, not at all. I think, you know, taking responsibility and, I mean, there's always that ability to go, oh, I can judge that. And then it's really cool because now I can catch a little early and go, oh, wow, look at that. I started to judge myself. Isn't that interesting?
And if you do that, if I may, then you're working in layer 18 because that's about judging yourself. It's about the duality. Everything has its opposite. And if you want to, you can be miserable the rest of your life because you can be constantly looking at that which you don't have or you don't want. And if you just think, oh, this isn't what I would have chosen myself, or, hey, it's different than I thought it would be, then you're at ease again. And then the situation doesn't change, but you're at ease again, so the problem is solved.
Yeah, that is exactly it. That is so true. Now, maybe I misunderstood this part in your book because I'm just getting to the first third of it. But maybe you can correct it if I'm mistaken. But it sounded like that some of the higher layers of the soul, that if there's a bump or a blockage and then that blockage is, you know, relieved or healed, that because, like, you know, the Russian dolls, all these layers are nestled in with each other. So if you're healing something at layer 12, then everything from 1 to 11 that might have been distorted from the problem at layer 12 is also healed?
That's true. If the theme is connected to the problem in layer 12.
Gotcha.
And since you already said emotional in layer 2, rational in layer 3, your thinking and your emotions are influenced by your family karma in 12. So if you're having trouble with your father, for instance, of course your thinking is influenced by it and how you feel about it also. So if it's cleansed in 12, then your thinking patterns will change and you will feel more happy and more at ease. So that indeed is the system. And that's why I love working in the higher layers, because if the problem is in 21 and you can correct it there, well, there's a lot of...
Right. Well, and then, you know, my partner recently, went to get an Akashic Records reading to ask a question about how come he's had so many different betrayals in his life that's been really painful, and he keeps manifesting these betrayals. And so they actually found a past life of this man who was, had this major betrayal issue and ended up, you know, healing that part of his soul from that lifetime. And so he doesn't have to keep manifesting the same thing over and over again. And I think that, you know, in your book, you talk about why certain illnesses or relationship patterns seem to happen over and over again. So maybe you can elaborate on that piece.
Well, if I may, you talked about your partner. I was thinking, okay, which layer is this? This is layer 20. It's about knowledge of the light and the opposite of it. And it's about making the correct choices, the choices that are pure for you as a soul. And perhaps your partner can do something with that in this lifetime. Everyone has these issues. But if he already worked on this particular subject, perhaps it's a good idea to give him the book and let him read chapter 20, because then the energy starts to resonate and he can do the last bits and pieces.
That sounds great.
Since he already has done a lot. And well, when you fall ill and there's a problem in your aura, because the reason you fall ill can be different, of course. It can be because you didn't listen to your body, your ankle needed to give you a signal. That's one way of doing it. But in the other cases, when I found out that it's in a certain layer, I start to work in that layer. And the layer, the information of the layer, gives extra information for the problem. So if it's because, what's a nice one? Okay, let's talk about 21. That's about feeling your own divine part, your own soul, your GPS, I call it, and recognize it in other people. A lot of people recognize it in the other, but don't feel the divine part of themselves. And if you fall ill and it's in your 21st layer, then I can see, okay, you have a problem either with your own divinity or with the divinity of someone else. And if I talk about that while healing the part, then your head can wrap itself around it and think, oh, okay, and then it sinks in, and then your thinking also changes. So in a way, it's a combination of all kinds of diseases, which can be in almost every layer. It depends a bit. But, for instance, if there's a lot of cancer in the family, I think it will be in 12, but it could be in 15 as well, because that's how you grow as a group of people all having the same disease, for instance. So the layer gives information about which soul group grows when you go through that part.
Ah, I see. And so, for example, for me, having gone through the fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, and coming to this place where, you know, I love to teach, if I hadn't had that experience, I wouldn't have been able to nurture the self-compassion and therefore compassion for other people. And really, you know, when people are like, well, you really know what I'm going through, I'm like, yeah, I actually kind of do. You know, if it's some, it's sort of like I had to go through it. Like my soul said, that's part of your job, you know, to go through it. So is that a particular layer?
No, that's the way it works. And that's the way it works because that's what you came to do and that's what I came to do. If I hadn't gone through the layers, I couldn't write about them and give the energy of the layers to the book. And people just would have the information, would have had the information, but not... couldn't have resonated with it because it was just in my head. And now it's in my aura, and then I can, well, it kind of rubs off. And that's why you as a soul, you grow by going through the experiences. If it was just looking at them, we could have stayed above and just looked at the earth and thought, okay.
Right.
Because then you, that wasn't the game. So you have to go through it and do something with it. And sometimes it's important what you do with it, and sometimes it's just important that you go through it and decide what you want to do with it. So sometimes in your life plan, that's also layer 7, you already described, I want to start here and end there. And sometimes it's an open end, and it's just what you decide to do with it when you're here. Because when you're finally in your physical body, it's way more difficult than you thought beforehand. Sorry.
Right. That's so true. Oh my gosh, we've come to the end of our time.
And
I've had such a great time with you and everyone listening in. Make sure you buy a copy of her book, and you can go to her website, 21layersofthesoul.com, and that's the number 21, so 21layersofthesoul.com. And I really look forward to finishing the rest of the book. And oh my gosh, it's such an amazing opportunity to to have you on my show today. Thank you so much for you and your contribution.
Thank you. Well, and if anyone is interested in doing a healing with me through Skype, they are also available now. So if people read the book and think, okay, this helps a little or a lot, but not enough, please call me, make an appointment, and we will work long distance.
Oh, wow, that's great. That's perfect. Yep, so go to the website, 21 Layers of the Soul, and so you can contact Animik for some private one-on-ones on Skype. And thanks to everyone listening in. Thank you, Animik.